Amen. Sometimes I wonder, what did we do when we didn't have all of this technology that we cannot live without now? Amen. Minister Winterborn will be here Tuesday night, and he will be working with the children on some Black History music on Tuesday night. He will be here and he will be working with the children, our children, with Black History music. Amen. Let's go to Revelations chapter 1, Revelations chapter 3. Let's go to Revelations chapter 3. Verse 1 takes us to the fifth church of the seven churches of Asia Minor. And you almost need a pen out to kind of keep up. Very seldom do you even hear ministers preach from Revelation. So if it's one of those messages to take note, if there's a book to take notes from, this is one of those books. Because you probably can count the times in your lifetime that you hear pastors preaching from the book of Revelation. That's probably because much of the stuff in Revelation, we know that you don't want to hear it. And the truth of it matter is, we don't want to hear it either. Because that, just like it's true for you, it's true for me. Amen. I'd rather hear peaches and cream all day than to hear about what I got to hear in the book of Revelations. Let's go to verse 1 in Revelations chapter 3. It says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, says he that hath the seven spirits of God." Read that part for me. Read. Okay, let's go back to the top of the verse and everybody read. Let me hear everybody. You may be seated in the presence of God. Stay with me on this. I need you to stay with me all the way on this. And the subject is the church at Sardis. It's the church at Sardis. This is not anything elaborate. It's just the church at Sardis. I guess it opens up by way of introduction in saying to us that Sardis had gotten away from the messenger. They'd gotten away from the warnings that Jesus gave to the church, that he that hath ear, let him hear. Not as well as they sing, as well as I hope to preach, and as well as you hope to witness, not let us hear each other, but let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. They had ears, Sardis had ears, but they did not hear. They had ears, they did not hear, and the Bible says they died. Verse 1 speaks of the seven spirits of God, and verse 1 speaks of the seven stars. The seven stars are the angels, Seven stars are the messengers. The seven stars are the pastors of the seven churches. The seven spirits of God speaks of God's perfection. Seven spirits of God speaks of God's fullness. The fullness of God. The fullness of God. You know what? If there's anything I want to see now, I want to see now, I want to see now. I'm 52 years old today. Yeah. If there's anything I want to see now in my life, I want to see the fullness of God. I don't want any more incompletes in my life. I want to see the fullness of God. I want to see the fullness of God for your life. Bros, you know, this see it through thing. I want to see God see it through. And the seven spirits really speaks of God taking the church through. It speaks of God's richness. It speaks of God's greatness. It speaks of God's comprehensiveness. Do you know God really understands us better than we understand ourselves? And God understands all of these things that happens in our life to that causes us to become who we are, like we are, how we are, what we are. God comprehends that, and the seven spirits speaks of God's comprehensiveness. We cannot see, the songwriter says, through heartaches. We can't see through it because we're so busy crying, and we're so busy whining, and we're so upset about the heartaches until we can't see through them. And Rhonda, we can't see through teardrops. But somebody had enough vision to say, walk on by faith each day. And so the seven spirits, they speaks of God's majesty, God's glory, and God's Holy Spirit. You already know that the number seven is more than just a mathematical number. It represents that which is whole. And it represents that which is complete, and it represents that which is perfect. Having said that by way of introduction, there are some things about this church that has the name, you just read it, that the name of this church is Thou Livest and Art Dead. Say that with me, Thou Livest and Art Dead. And that's what I want to look into today. I want to look into it today. Get your pen out, because this is what I want you to write, my 4 points. And you'll know when I'm done, when I get to the fourth point. One, in this text, we get the reputation of the church. In this text, we get the rigmarole of the church. We get the reformation of the church. But then we also get the remnants of the church. All right, that's the reputation of the church, the rigmarole of the church, the reformation of the church, and the remnants of the church. Last time, the reputation, the rigmarole, the reformation, and the remnants. Now let's go to work on the reputation of the church, because most of us care more about our reputation than we do anything else. Verse 1 says, go to verse 1 with me. Y'all there? Read the first line. He says, I know thy works. All right, I read it. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest. Sardis had a reputation. It was a very popular church. It was a church with a wonderful reputation. They actually had a big name. And they had a good name. Of all of the churches, Miss Peggy Harvey Lee, that we've talked about during these five churches, this is the church with the big reputation. This is the church with the big name. Had you gone to Sardis, looked to the town of Sardis, looking for First Baptist Church of Sardis, anybody could have directed you to the Sardis Baptist Church or Methodist Church or whatever you would want this church to be in your mind and spirit, because with God, there is no Baptist. There is no denomination. It's just the church of God. But whatever you would want this church to be in terms of popularity and in terms of reputation, anybody could have pointed this church out to you because everybody knew about the church at Sardis. Now, had it been in our day, there would have been a lot of eloquence in the pulpit. Probably not me, because I'm not one of those eloquent preachers. A lot of eloquence in the pew. They would have had a wonderful program. Everybody looked at it as a going church. Everybody looked at it as a glowing church. And everybody looked at it as a growing church. You know, we talked about last week, bring them in, build them up, send them out. Well, they were a going church, a glowing church, and a growing church. Listen, they had more committees in that church than the other churches we've talked about had members. It was a great church. It was a great church. They had lots of committees. They had a name. They had a reputation. Names don't always mean very much. Some people, places, and things have names and reputations, and that's all they have is names and reputations. And beyond their name, they have nothing. They had a name. They had a name that they were alive. They had a name that they lived, not lived. But they had a name that they livest. Livest means present tense. Not live, not past tense. Not this was the good church. Not this was the church where everybody went. Not this was the place to be. But they had a name that thou livest. Names, reputation, they live, not living. They had a reputation. Not only do we see in this text the reputation of this church, but notice the rigmarole of the church. Verse 1 says, thou hast a name that thou livest, but thou art dead. It's sad to have everybody think that you are alive and believe that you are alive. And in this text, it says they are dead. Now, what's the tragedy? The tragedy is that the organism had become an organization. The movement had become a monument. To know a dead church, you have to know the signs of a dead church. Now, listen. The Polar Star, also known as the North Star, it's the star that Harriet Tubman used for guidance while traveling at night to avoid detection as she strived to help escapees to freedom, the Polar Star, the North Star. Astronomers say that it takes 33 years for the light from the North Star to reach the Earth. The North Star might really have burned out 20 years ago, and we wouldn't really know that it was burned out for another 13 years, because it takes 33 years for its light to reach the Earth. In other words, it looks like it's still there. It looks like it's there, but it's not. It could be a dead star, even though there's a light illuminating from what we call the North Star. Churches today are in that same shape. They have the appearance of life. And the church is not this building. The church is each one of us as an individual have the appearance of life. But the great physician who has his finger on the pulse of each one of us knows whether we livest or are dead. So what's a dying church? What's a dying church? One has to know what a dying church is. The life of the Mount Olivet Baptist Church is not the pastor. It's not the choir. It's not the programs. It's not the activities. It's not the budget, the life of this church is the Holy Spirit of God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit had departed from this Sardis church, and they didn't even know it. It is said that a man visited the Sardis church, and the church where the Spirit of the Lord had departed, somehow this man soul got happy in the Sardis church. But that was different, because the Spirit of the Lord had left the church. The collective church, the Spirit of the Lord had left the church, but somehow or another, this man got happy sitting in that church. Story is told that while he sat in the church, he broke out with a great big praise and hollered, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!" And the usher went running to the man to cool him down. She whispered to him, saying, "Cool it down, sir. You're disturbing the worship in this church." The man says, "I got good religion." The woman said, the usher said, "Maybe you did, but you didn't get it here. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." When something dies, it simply means that the spirit departs. It means the senses depart. It means the strengths have departed. What strengths do a corpse have? The church had no spiritual power. The church ought to have power. I mean, even as I sat and I watched, names are not just called out for special prayer for nothing. There's power in a praying church. Sick ought to get well in a praying church. Hurt ought to be made whole. Sorrow ought to be made joy. Despair ought to get hope in a praying church. God will wipe your tears away in a praying church. Loneliness can be comforted. The down can be picked up. Burdens can be rolled away in a praying church. The outcast can be brought in. Sinners can join, and converts can learn. Wheels can turn. Fire can burn. Everybody can be happy. Nobody doubting. Everybody singing on Jordan stormy banks I stand, because there is something about a church that lives. And all this learned in this text is that didn't happen at the Sardis church. The spirit was gone, the senses were gone, and the strength was gone. And so the rigmarole of the church, it has a name for living, but the Bible says thou art dead. They had activity, but they were dead. I used to watch my grandmama ring off a rooster's neck. She was, you know, when grandma was raising chickens, she always kept the hens to lay eggs. But sometimes she would get too many roosters. And some of y'all who are not ashamed to let folk know where you're from can identify with what I'm talking about. When grandma got too many roosters, she would grab that rooster and wring that neck off and pop that neck, and the neck would stay in her hand. The head of the chicken would stay in her hand, and the rooster would be just, Miss Ingram, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm looking at your sister over there, and I can tell y'all were wringing chicken necks down in North Carolina. But grandma would hold the head of the chicken in her hand, and I would watch the rooster run around but his head was in her hand. And what was happening with that chicken whose head was cut off was the same thing that was happening to the church of Sardis. They had activity in their bodies, but they were dead. As a rooster runs around with his head cut off, so was the church at Sardis. So I wanted to tell you, not only the reputation of the church, not only the rigmaroles of the church, but notice also in this text, the reformation of the church. Let's go to verse 2. It says, be watchful. Say that with me. Be watchful. And strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. He says, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Verse 3 says, remember. Somebody say, remember. Therefore, how thou hast received,
and heard and hold fast and repent. If you're writing, write these words down, because that's what this text is telling us to do. He says, first of all, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain and that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect. Verse 3, he says, remember, therefore, how thou hast in the past received and heard, and he says, hold fast and repent. If thou, therefore, thou shalt not watch, he says, I will come like a thief. Here the Lord tells the church what to do. He says, there's still a few sparks left. Look at verse 2. Good verse. He says, in verse 2, it says, be watchful. That's a combination of two Greek words, which means to chase sleep. Be watchful, chase sleep. Don't do anything else until you get this settled. He's saying there's yet some relationships that need to be mended. There's yet some healing that needs to be done. There's yet some forgiveness that needs to be done. And he says, don't do anything. Don't go to sleep. Be watchful. Don't do anything until you get this done. He says, don't go to bed with your life spiritually dead. He's saying, don't go to bed in the same shape you woke up in this morning. In other words, when we lay down tonight, we ought to lay down as better people than we woke up as. I mean, woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus, but we ought to wake up, we ought to go to bed this night praising him and worshiping him and thanking him for his good. Everybody in here, when you go to bed tonight, go to bed better, a better person than you woke up as. Amen. Somebody say amen. Don't go in the same shape that you woke up. Why? Because verse 2 said, why? I know you want to know why. It's right here. Verse 2 says, I have not found your works before God. I have not found thy perfect works before God. What is he trying to say? Well, whenever you see perfect in the text, it's not talking about without a sin. Do you know when you see perfect in the Bible, it does not talk about sin? You know why? Because everybody who picks this up, sin. Because that's us. There's nobody in this. I know I got some folk in here today who want to say, I'm squeaky clean. You know, we're just like that Pharisee in the Bible who said, I pray 3 times a week. I fast 3 times a week. But this book says we all have sin. And it does not say have sinned. It says we all have sinned. And we all come short of the glory of God. And so when he says perfect, remember, he's not saying without sin. He's not talking about sinless. Perfect means mature, like a rose is a perfect rose. It might have some petals missing, but it's a perfect rose because it's mature. And so perfect means mature. Perfect means complete. Perfect means it's reaching its intended purpose. And so as I get to my fourth point, what I want to ask you this morning, do you even know what your intended purpose is? Jesus said to Sardis, I have not seen your works perfect. He says, I have not seen your works complete. I have not seen your works reach their intended purpose before God. I'm trying to tell everybody in here, all of us have an intended purpose before God. You pray, but he said to the church at Sardis, he says, you pray, but your prayers don't get through. He says, you worship, but your worship doesn't go outside of these walls. He says, you sing, but God does not hear your song. He says, you preach, but God does not give you what you're preaching. He says, you give, but God does not receive your offering. He says, your works are not perfect. He says, your works are not mature. He says, I told y'all, I know you don't want to hear this because I don't want to hear this. He says, you preach, but what you preach is not what God gives you. You sing, but what you sing is not what God gives you to sing. And he said, don't go to bed. Don't go to bed the way you woke up this morning. He says, because your works are not perfect, your works are not mature, your works are not fulfilling their God-intended purpose. And so he says in verse 3, go to verse 3, he says, be watchful. That's what he says. But you know what he's really saying when he says, be watchful? He's saying, take your eyes off of other people and look at yourself. And you know what? When I look at myself, I discover I got some more tears to shed. I got some more burdens to bear. I got some more praying to do. I got some more forgiving to do. I got some more healing to do, because he said, be watchful. But he's telling us, he's telling me, look at myself. He's telling you, look at yourself. He says, and then remember and repent. But then he does not only say remember. In other words, when he says remember, he says, remember the things that God has already done. And if somebody here doesn't have a reason to shout, let me give you one. Think about what God has already done. Am I talking to somebody in here who can say, if God does not do anything else for me? I don't know who I'm talking to. I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to everybody. He says, remember, if God does not do anything else for you. Now, am I talking to somebody here who can say, he's already done more than he should have done? He's done more than enough. He says, remember. But then he says, not only does he say remember, look, it's in the text. He says, repent. And repent simply means to stop. Stop, stop, stop. Somebody say stop. Touch somebody and tell them stop. And then he said, but listen, you know what I've learned from this church? I guess I thought that as long as I remembered how good God is and I repented, I stopped, I thought I would be all right. But that's not what this text teaches me today. It says remembering is good. Stopping is good, but if you don't come back, he says return. It's fine to remember. It's fine to stop, but then he says come back. And that's what the word return means. It says it means come back, come back, come back. And so that's how you get your church right with God. One, you remember. I think somebody else ought to say amen there, because I'm looking at you. And you didn't come to Rochester looking as good as you are now. You didn't come here living as good as you are now. All of us can remember how far he's brought us from. And guess what? Guess what? What you wear and what you own and what you got, that ain't even what it's all about. Look at your health and your strength. Look at your eyes to see. Look at arms and hands to raise. Look at the breath breathing in your body. I told y'all today is my birthday, and for over 20 years on February 14th, Pastor Carl Delk of Jamaica, New York, calls me every February 14th at 7 o'clock a.m. I answer the phone. I laugh when he calls now, because this is the call. I don't get this call. I won't get this call again. I mean, I guess I could say, Karen, that we're not friends. I mean, I have his number locked in my phone. My number is locked in his phone. Only time I get a call is February 14th. He said, I picked up the phone and laughed. He said, happy birthday. I said, thank you, Carl. And I said, man, you are really faithful. Larry, I said, you're so faithful to the birthday call. You've been calling me ever since I turned 30. When I turned 30, you've not missed the February 14th calling me. He said, I said, and I'm happy about that. He said, well, I'm happy that you answered the phone. He says, because I've been calling preachers for over 30 years. He says, you would be surprised at the numbers I have of those who can't answer the phone no more. He says, I want to say thank you for the birthday call. He says, I want to say thank you for answering the phone. And then I thought about what he was saying, and then I began to thank God for my life. Thank God for being able to answer the phone. I told him, I'm so glad. How many of you just glad to be able to answer the phone? So he says, think back. That's what repent and return means. It says, think back And thank God, repent does not mean that you're only broken over your sins, but it says it means to be broken for your sins. In other words, that wrong, that problem, that situation was not in vain. I've been broken for it. I've been changed for it. I've been redeemed for it. I've been brought back for it. I've been transformed because of that. And so we're almost done, y'all. Here we go. Not only the reputation of the church of Sardis, not only the rigmarole of the church of Sardis, not only the reformation of the church of Sardis, but have you got time to hear about the remnants of the church of Sardis? It says, in every church there are classes. Classes. In every church you got classes. In this church there are classes. Whatever church you go to, there are classes. You got the haves and the have-nots. You got educated and uneducated. You got dark skin and light skin. You got white and black. You got classes. You got people do well and people don't do well. Well, in this church, they had three classes. And none of those classes are the classes that we talk about in our churches today. They had three classes. Are you interested in knowing the three classes? One, they had the dead class. They had the dying class. And then they had the dedicated class. I just hope that you can be found in one of these classes. How do you know? Because verse 4 says, I'm running because it's just a few of us here today. I ain't going to keep you long. And I'm running to verse 4. Will y'all run to verse 4 with me? Will y'all run with me? Come on, let's run to verse 4. Verse 4. Go to verse 4. Go to verse 4. Y'all there? Let me hear verse 4. Y'all sound like a rehearsal that Lewis is not proud of. Everybody he says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall, look, this is the part. There's just so many pieces in Revelation that we don't like. But there are some good pieces in here that if we do what God wants us to do, we can get what God has for us. He said, they shall walk with me. Notice he talks about just a few. He opens up by saying, it's just a few. It's just a few. But he says, that few will walk with me. Why? Because they are worthy. And he says in verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of what? I will not blot his name out of the book of life. But what does he say I will do? I will confess his name before who? And before who? And verse 6 says, he that has what? Let him do what? Hear what? Unto who? Verse 4, he speaks about the virtuous life. Now notice in the book of Solomon, it only talks about the virtuous woman. But in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 3, it talks about the virtuous life. They shall walk with me in white. Didn't we just get through singing, we shall overcome? We shall see his face? That's only those who will live what Revelations call a virtuous life. Now, don't you think that all of us locked in hand shall overcome? And don't you think that all of us locked in hand shall see his face? And all these locked in hand, it says in verse 4 that the few, just the few, but here's the glory. I want to be one of the few. And you want to be one of the few. Matter of fact, if it's 10, I want to be one of the 10. When it comes down to walking hand in hand with God, if it's just 5, I want to be one of the 5. And listen, I love all of y'all, but if it's just 1, I want to be the one that walks with God. I want to be the one that overcomes. I want to be the one that he confesses Let's go. Verse 4 says he speaks of him as a virtuous, as a virtuous life, a good life. It's God saying this man has a good life. It's God saying this woman has a good life. It's God saying, see, the reason why I want God to say it, because people are fickle. You know, people will like you today and talk about how good you are today, and tonight, I'm watching this series on TV called The Following. And this movie is so amazing to me, because people will stand up and they will be talking to individuals, and they can be talking about what you're going to have for dinner. I mean, if you like a good scary movie, and I'm not getting paid for advertising this, but if you like a good scary movie, they don't get no worse than this, but it's so real. They can be standing up talking about where we're going for dinner and what we're going to eat, and before you know it, they've stuck a knife in that individual. But not only do they stick the knife in, they twist the knife and they rip that person's guts out just standing there talking. And so that's why it doesn't matter what a person confesses about you, because the same one that confesses you as a good person today, they will stick a knife in you, twist that knife, and rip your guts out. But look what the text says. It says in verse 5, he speaks about the virtuous life. And he says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with raiment. He says, I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But look what he says. He says, God says, my son Jesus will confess your name before the Father. My son Jesus will confess your name before the angels. And when God confesses your name, when the Lord confesses your name, you can trust that he's confessing your name. You can trust that what he says today, he'll say it tomorrow. I believe that somewhere up in heaven around God's throne, some of our names are being confessed. I believe that up in heaven around God's throne, some of our names are being confessed in front of the angels. So I'm done. I've given you the 4 points. So I say to you in my closing, be zealous, says the Lord. Remember. Always remember how good God has been. Always remember how good God is. If I was in the South, I'd say it like this: ain't he good? Ain't he good? And then repent. It's nothing wrong with going before the Lord and says, Father, I know I've done wrong. I've sinned and I've come short of the glory of God. And then he says, remember this. If you leave with 3 things, leave with this. Leave with remembering how good God is. Leave with repenting, which means there's some things in my life that I got to stop. But then don't forget that when you stop, you haven't finished until you return. Because he says, remember God's goodness. He says, repent unto the Lord. And then he says, return, which simply means to come back. Come back to the place where you first found the Lord. I'm going to leave you now, but when this text says, come back to the place, it's not saying, come back to the place. Not the physical place that you were when you found the Lord. But you know where you were in your heart when you found the Lord. I'm talking to somebody who said, when you found the Lord, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody. Who am I talking to? You found the Lord and said, I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody, but I just couldn't keep it to myself. Somebody know what I'm talking about? And so when he says, return, When he says come back, he's not talking about to the front row of the Mount Olivet Baptist Church. But when he says return, he's saying come back to that place where you were when we came together. I'm gone now, but ain't God good? I said, ain't God good? I was sitting in Uncle Mo's the other day. A man walked in. He asked me, how are you doing? I told the man, awesome. A few days passed by. He came in and said, how are you doing? I told the man, wonderful. The next time he came in, the man said, how are you doing? And I told the man, I'm awesome. The man said, I've spoken to you for 3 days in a row. The first time, you're wonderful. The second time, you're awesome. The third time, you're marvelous. He said, tell me, how can you be awesome on one day? And then the next day, you're wonderful. And then the next day, you're awesome. He says, tell me, how can this be? I said, well, I woke up this morning. Ain't that good? The man said, well, I woke up too this morning, but the electrician came to my house, told me that my furnace in the house was gone out. The man said, well, I can't be wonderful and having to put a furnace in my house. I asked the man, I said, I got a question to ask you. I said, tell me the truth. I said, do you have the money for your furnace? The man said, well, I don't want to spend that kind of money. I said, that's not the question that I asked you. Do you have the money for your furnace? The man said, well, I got it. I said, that's enough to be wonderful when your furnace go out. That's enough to be wonderful. Somebody's furnace is gone out. And I'm not talking about the furnace in your basement. Somebody's furnace is gone out. And I'm not talking about the furnace in your attic, the furnace in your closet. I'm talking about the furnace in your heart. And I come to tell you, you got enough. Can I get a witness here? You got enough this morning to get a brand new furnace. All you got to do is remember how good he is. And when you think about the goodness of God, somebody say, what you talking about? He woke me up this morning. He woke you up this morning. And when you lay down last night, who do you think rocked you to sleep? That's enough to tell God thank you. You woke up this morning clothed in your right mind. Ain't God good? Clothes on our back, food on the table, strength in our bodies. Help me tell God thank you for how good he is. And then repent. Stop what you're doing and come back to God and tell God, thank you, sir. You got heat in your furnace. Ain't he good? I said, ain't he good? I said, any good? Shake your neighbor's hand. Just a few of us in here today, but shake your neighbor's hand and tell your neighbor, I thank God for the mountains. I thank God for the valley. I thank God for all the storms he brought me through. If I never had, if my furnace never went out, I wouldn't know God is able. I'm done now. I didn't want to hold you this morning. I just wanted to tell you that when the furnace goes out, you're still able. You're still able to light your fire. God is a good God. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? I done got happy now, because when I think about how good he is, my soul cries out. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. Oh, oh, I will trust in the Lord. Thank God, I'll trust in the doors of the church are open. There may be somebody here today whose furnace went out, but God has given you what you need. God has given you what